Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
Other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
It's the second edition, Andrew, and we're doing the Dick era. It needed two parts, right? We did 97, 98 in part one, but 99, yeah. Like, you think Andre Royal getting arrested at the strip club and Coingate, and you think all of it, you think it couldn't get any crazier, but 99, like, it got crazy. And by the way, we filmed these two at a time. I am on Elijah Craig Berman. I'm on drink number 7. I have a full glass of ice in the bottle in front of me, Andrew. I am so drunk. If I mispronounce names, I just whatever. Like, but look, this is what the 100 of you donated $12. This is what you wanted. You wanted me drunk talking about Saints history.
You wanted Ralph drunk talking about Dino Filial and Ink Aliaga.
So, my God, I like it's spinning. I hope this. Let me check the recording. So it is recording. So they go into 99, right? And the Saints, they get like 6-10, 6-10, and only Ditka would be like, I don't have a quarterback. What I need is a running back. So Ditka, was it at the, I think it was at the scouting combine, right? He, mm-hmm. like, told Chris Mortensen, he's like, I'll trade the whole fucking draft for Ricky Williams. Was that it? Was that how it went, Andrew?
Yeah.
He was, and the thing was, like, the Saints were picking like 7. So they didn't even need to trade the whole draft to get Ricky Williams. Like, you needed to trade, like, your second-round pick to move up 5 spots to get Ricky Williams. Like, but Dick had already said it, so it was out there, right? So the Saints, like, going into 99, like, they signed Wally Williams on the offensive line. So you were like, oh, shit, I think it might happen. Like, there was a sense, Andrew, that it was really going to happen. Like, they were going to mm-hmm. do whatever it took to get Ricky. Did you feel that way? Like, I...
Yeah, like, I mean, Ditka had made some comments that, you know, basically he thought Ricky Williams was the best player in the draft, and he thought that he was so good that...
He would basically
put any team in the playoffs on his own.
He was Walter Payton with dreadlocks. So, yes. On draft day, the Saints were like, here's, you want to talk about bonkers. Cincinnati, who I don't think they picked number 1. I gotta pull up the 99. I gotta pull up the 99 draft. You know, like, when you're drunk and everything's blurry and, it gets hard to, like, type. The numbers on my keyboard are, like, swaying back and forth. So, the 99 draft was Tim Couch got pick number 1. But,
oh, God. We'll get back to that.
So, Tim Couch goes number 1. Donovan McNabb goes number 2. Cincinnati is on the clock. And the Saint, Q Herrick, calls up Cincinnati. And he says to Cincinnati, I'll give you our whole 99 draft, a number 1 pick in 2000, a number 1 pick in 2001, and Cincinnati, Mike Brown says, nah, bruh, we're good. We're taking Achilles Smith. I mean, if you want to say the Saints made a bad decision taking Ricky Williams, like, how bad was Cincinnati's decision passing up 3 number 1s and taking Achilles Smith, Andrew?
No bueno.
I mean, I don't even know. So, they pick Achilles Smith. And the Colts pick... The Colts are on the clock, and the Colts need a running back. So, everybody's like, the Colts are going to pick Ricky Williams, and it'll be done, and the Saints will be done with it. They'll have to pick 7. They'll have to deal with what they want. But the Colts pick Edgerrin James, and... at the Saints draft fest, everybody goes fucking bonkers because Washington is like, oh, you want to give us your whole draft and your number 1 pick in 2000 for the fifth pick overall? Yeah, we'll do that. So the Saints pick at 5 and they pick Ricky Williams. And like we said before in part 1 that people were pumped about Ditka, don't let people tell you they weren't pumped about Ricky Williams. Like, people be like, oh, I didn't like the trade. But no, Andrew, tell the people. Saints fans were pumped about Ricky Williams.
They were pumped.
They were pumped. Yeah. Like, they were throwing shit up at the draft. Like, people
I think there was, like, a little bit of uneasiness. Like, man, did we give up too much? We give up too much for this guy? But, you know, he was so good at Texas. I mean, he was the Heisman. Again, another Heisman Trophy winner.
We're like, eh, whatever. Dicka wants him. You know, we're all in with Dicka. Like, what are we going to do? Like, so... The Saints, they draft Ricky Williams, and, like, it immediately goes just wrong. Like Ricky Williams, like, he signs a key. He has Master P as his agent, and he does this contract with, like, no signing bonus and, like, huge amounts of incentives.
Yeah, and you know, Terry O'Neill, I mean, he was a good cap guy.
He was a great.
He fleeced Ricky Williams.
He was a great.
Fleeced him.
He was a great cap guy. So he fleeces Ricky. But Ricky Williams, like in the mini camps, like Ricky Williams is like interviewing with the media and like wearing his helmet during interviews. And we're like, dude, this dude is weird. Like this is bad. And then he hurts his ankle in training camp and he gets a high ankle sprain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Saints, they go into 99, they win the first game 19-10, and Ricky Williams, like, his ankle's hurt, but he still runs for like 80 yards. So it seems like it's going well, but dude, then the wheels just come fucking off, Andrew. Like explain to the people, like the Saints won their first game.
Yep.
But
well, I think you know, the first game, you know, finally Billy Joe Hobert is back, and Ditka's like, okay, this is my guy. He's gutsy. I like him. And you can kind of tell, even though the Saints win because they have a great defense, and you know they win 19-10, you can tell something's not right with Hobert. You're like, he just doesn't look the same as he did last year. You know, or at the end of the 2 years ago, and at the beginning of last year, like, you know, he doesn't look 100%. But the Saints win the game, and so you're like, okay, there's hope. And then in game two, they go at San Francisco, and they're up 21-14.
Yeah.
And Hobert is playing out of his mind. And you're like, all right, Hobert's back. He's our guy. He's the quarterback. We're on the road, and we're beating the 49ers, baby. And Ditka had never beaten the 49ers. He was 0-4 against the Niners up to this point.
Yeah.
And Steve Young hits Terrell Owens with 2 minutes left to tie the game at 21.
Yeah.
And so with 2 minutes left, you're like, all right, Hobert, time to shine,
get it,
baby.
Done.
You need to go down on the 49ers and win the game and have us believe in you.
Yep.
And Hobert throws a pick six with 30 seconds left. Run back for a touchdown. The Niners win 28-21. And so at that point, like, you know, with Hobert, it went from like, man, this is the guy, this is it, to done. And he gets hurt the following week again. Yep. And so it's back to Billy Joe Tolliver.
Yeah.
And then the Saints kind of go on this run of heartbreakers. They lose by 4 to the Bears.
Yeah.
They lose by 3 to the Falcons. They lose by 3 to the Titans.
No, but don't skip over the Titans, because the Titans is a critical point, because at the end of the half, the Saints, they botch it, and they have like third and goal at the at the half yard line, and Ditka runs like a fullback dive, and they don't have any timeouts, so they can't run on.
They
and get
run
the field
out of
goal.
Clock.
So instead of being up 13-3, they're up 10-3, and they end up botching it. And the crowd boos them going off the field, and Ditka does Ditka does the double birds and the crotch grab of that point, and the Saints, they lose. Because that's Tennessee. They end up going to the Super Bowl that year. They end up going to falling to 1-4. The next week, they fall to the Giants. They're 31-3, and they're 1-5. At that point, they're in a free fall. But they play the Browns, and the Browns, this is the Cleveland Browns of the Browns went to Baltimore. NFL gives Cleveland an expansion team. So this is the new Browns, right?
This is the old Browns.
Well, no, this is the second incarnation of the Browns. This is like...
Tim
Couch. So the Saints are winning, and they're winning 16-14, like, but they fuck up the clock at the end of the game, and they don't run it down They could have run it down to like 1 second, have Doug Bryan kick the field goal, win. You're 2-5. Whatever. They fuck it up, and the Browns get like 20 seconds, and take it from there, Andrew, because I'm really drunk.
Yeah, so the Browns, I want to say, they get, you know, a couple first downs, and it's still like implausible that they're going to come back.
Yeah.
But they get to about their own 48, and they clock it with about 2 seconds left. And you're like, oh, it's one of those games where 99.9% of the time you win, but you're like, they really should never let it get to this point. Now they get to take a shot at the end zone. Oh, it should have never been this close, but God, just make the play and let's go home with the win. And at this point, like, the Saints are broken. The players are broken. The staff is broken. The fans are broken. Because I was at this game. And
I was, too.
I remember, you know, there had been three – you remember how this season started this past year where there were those heartbreaking losses?
Yeah.
And it was like that this year. There were three losses in a row like that, and you just felt like the Saints were so close and they were knocking on the door. And finally they had this game in the bag. And you see Tim Couch kind of, you know, three-man rush. He kind of sits in the pocket, and then you think they're going to sack him. You know, because he's taking too long. And so then he kind of rolls out to the right, and you're like, oh, just get him, just sack him, and he won't even get the ball off. But then he chucks it. And he chucks it, and it's just like you watch it, it's like slow motion. And you can hear a pin drop in the dome because it's, you know, and I'm sitting, at this point, I'm sitting in the upper deck, so I'm in the nosebleed section. And you see the receiver come down with the ball in the end zone. And it's so quiet in the Superdome that from the nosebleed section, you can hear the Browns players cheering and screaming on the sideline. That's how quiet it is.
The funny thing was, the week before, they played the Giants. And the Giants hit a Hail Mary right before the half.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, like, how fucking unlucky do you have to be to have Hail Mary hit you back-to-back weeks? Yeah. Only the Saints. And Ditka's on the ground, like, rolling around like a toddler.
Yeah, as soon as the Browns win the game,
I am so drunk.
Ditka collapses to the ground, and he just lays face down on the turf.
It felt like forever, right?
It was probably like 45 seconds. It was, but it seriously felt like days.
So the Saints are just like, they're fucking broken. They go to Tampa, they get rolled. They beat San Francisco cuz Steve Young got injured, and like they get rolled. They give up in consecutive weeks. Jacksonville scores 40. The Rams score 43. Atlanta scores 35. They gave up 40, 43, 35, 30, 31 in back-to-back weeks. So they play on a Christmas Eve game. It was a Friday game. They play Christmas Eve, and at that point they're like, whatever. We're playing Jake DeLome. And everybody's like, what? You're doing what? Like, the dude off the practice squad? And you're against the Cowboys? So, the Cowboys at that point, their dynasty was done. So, the Saints played Dallas on Christmas Eve. And Jake DeLome fucking is good. And Dallas is terrible. And the Saints win 31-24. So, at that point, you were like, you know, Jake DeLome, he hit Eddie Kinnison, who played for the Saints for like 1 year, you know? So you're like, oh my God, they might keep Ditka, which at that point, the fun was gone because the shenanigans of Ditka and the nonsense, you were like, yeah, it was entertaining for a little bit, but now we just want it to be over. So the Saints are 3-12 and they go to Carolina, and this is one of those weird things, Andrew. You jump in if I'm wrong, but Carolina is like, I think they were like 8-7 or 7-8, and them and Green Bay and another team were like, if we end up in a tie, for the last playoff spot, like the tiebreaker that's going to matter is points scored. So Carolina was like, Saints, we are going to kick your ass and we are going to score until the clock says zero. Because we have to, because it might be a tiebreaker for the playoffs, right? So right. Carolina is just, like, they have...
They're throwing every play. They're throwing bombs every play.
Yeah, like, there's no fucking mercy on the Saints. So they drop 45 on the Saints. And like, the thing is with the Saints, like, in a way, it was actually good for the Saints. And I remember at the time, I was rooting for Carolina because I was like, they need to fire fucking Mike Ditka. And they need to show... that he's inept and doesn't know what he's doing. So Carolina dropped 60 on the Saints. Like because people were worried, like is Tom Benson going to fire everybody? Like, he might not. So, like, this was – so Carolina scored 45, and, like, they would have scored 100 if they could have. And, like, the Saints were just totally inept. So, like, everybody's like, is Dick going to fire – is Benson going to fire Dick? So, like, the next day, like, he fired fucking everybody. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, like, I don't know about you, but, like, me and my mom, because, like, me and my mom, we have a season, we had decided, like, if the Saints do not fire Ditka, we're done. Like, and that's the only time with the Saints in the whole stretch of Hazlitt and all of it, more, like, because we had had tickets since 1989. That was the only time we ever discussed getting rid of the tickets. We're like, if they don't get rid of Ditka, we're getting rid of the tickets. And is it, we're like, after the Carolina game. That was the so they fired Ditka. And, like, I don't know that, Andrew, that it was relief, but, like, people were like, describe, because I feel like.
I mean, I was angry with Ditka, but my main issue was with Bill Koharik because of the free agents they signed. And the horrible personnel moves at every turn, their inability to get a quarterback. And, I mean, I blamed Koharik for enabling Ditka, you know, especially with the Ricky Williams trade.
I feel like, and this is the God rest his soul, Hoki Gajong, he was a scout for the Saints. They went around the table and they asked the scouts, is it a good idea to trade the whole draft and a number one pick for the next year for Ricky Williams? All the scouts and Bill Koharik said, yeah. The one person who said, are you out of your fucking mind, was Hoki Gajon.
Yeah.
So let's give him credit. He was like, what the fuck are you doing? You don't trade your whole draft for a running back. So, but the thing
And that was the running back saying it.
Yeah, it was exactly a running back saying, don't trade for a running back. I love drinking. I love. Andrew, my headset just fell off.
I was going to say, did you just collapse to the ground?
I did.
Like Ditka after Tim Couch's Hail Mary?
I love drinks. I love Drunk Saints history. I love it. I'm going to love doing this every other month. We're going to record two episodes. This is the best thing ever. So
yeah, I one of my favorite interviews during the Ditka era, you know, and we talked about so many of these quarterbacks. You know, at one point they had Werfel, they had Shuler, they had Billy Joes, they had Doug Nussmeier. You know, they had Jake Delhomme, they had Kerry Collins. I mean, there were so many guys getting rotated in and out because they had good defenses and they couldn't score points and they just couldn't figure out the quarterback thing and did go, you know, he had a quick trigger, you know. The only guy that was ever really his guy was Hobert. And he was just constantly injured. So, you know, everyone else he didn't like and he would switch it all the time. And so, you know, I remember this one interview where they stick the mic in his face and they're like, you know, Mike, who's going to start this week? And he just says, well, what do you care?
Yeah, and he's like, next question.
And they're like, well, we're reporters. We the fans want to know who's going to start. And he's like, well, it's none of their business.
Who's going to start? It's going to start.
He says, it doesn't concern anybody.
Yes.
Whoever starts will start, and whoever doesn't start will back him up. And that's what we're going to do. And it's none of your business.
And then I think Brian Alley Walsh, who was a great Times Picayune reporter, asked him, he's like, Mike, why are you such in a bad mood? He's like, I'm 1-7. I'm in a bad fucking mood. Wouldn't you be in a bad mood if you're 1-7? And I was like, yeah, I get the guy. Like, I feel him. Like, he's 1-7. Like, he's being honest. But, like, The fun thing about the Ditka era was, like, the Saints were like a burning crater at the end. And you were like, they fire everybody. But the one thing, the one, like, saving grace of the Ditka era was, like, by trading the whole draft for Ricky Williams and by Bill Kuharik not understanding free agency, like, the Saints, like, you couldn't have a cleaner cap going into 2000 than Randy Mueller and Jim Haslett had. Like, the Saints had, like, their cap was perfect because they didn't, like, since they didn't sign any free agents, like, they didn't have any bad contracts, right? Mm-hmm. So, going into 2000, like, Randy Mueller came in and he brought Mickey Loomis with him. They're like, well,
they're finally off the hook of the Shuler deal.
Yeah, they're finally off the hook of the Shuler deal. And they're like, well, we don't have any draft picks, so we're just going to go crazy in free agency and sign a bunch of guys, and we have a bunch of cap room. So, like, in a way, because Ditka was so incompetent running the cap and drafting, like, it set up 2000, which was weird. But, like, I mean,
well, there was two things that team had. A good offensive line,
yeah,
and a good defense. And as bad as they played defensively at the end of the Ditka era, that was more about quitting than ability. So Haslett inherited a great offensive line, and he inherited a good defense. And so, you know, when he was able to get a healthy Ricky Williams in year two, they were able to get Joe Horn in free agency, who was a home run hit, and they were able to get Jeff Blake as a free agent quarterback who is very good for the Saints, and Aaron Brooks, you know, via trade. You know, the offense went from completely incompetent to able to score a little bit here and there overnight.
And the thing was with those Ditka teams is, and the thing that made them fun was they played the 46 defense, but they could get after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And the fun thing was, like, they were inept, and the offense would turn the ball over, and so the defense would, you know, be like, yeah, they turned the ball over, and they held them to a field goal. But, like, that front, that defense, like, they got Leroy Glover, and they were smart enough to sign him to a deal. And, like, that 2000 team, they had Leroy Glover 17 sacks, Joe Johnson 12 sacks, Darren Howard 11 sacks, Keith Mitchell 6 sacks, Willie Whitehead 5.5. Like, that pass rush, like, basically, it was so good, it got Ron Zook the Florida job. Like, Florida looked at the 2000 Saints and were like, Ron Zook, he's a pretty good defensive coordinator. No, dude, he had Leroy Glover and Joe Johnson and Darren Howard rushing the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I could be the defensive coordinator for that fucking team. I mean, I guess the thing is with the Dick era, and maybe we are so old, Andrew. It's 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're going to be 6-10, 6-10, and 3-13, like, Mike Dick is the coach you want to have because he's a fucking clown show, and that's what you want, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, endless entertainment. The interviews were hilarious. You know, he was just so fast and loose with his personnel decisions. And so rash with his changes. You know, I think something that was real frustrating with some coaches is that they stick with their guy.
Not,
you know,
Ditka.
Like that was one thing with Haslett, you know, he just stuck with Brooks for so long, so much longer than he should have, you know, before he made a switch. And you know, I just think there's a lot of stubborn coaches out there.
Not Ditka.
Ditka would make the switch overnight. I mean, he was so rash with this. But, like, as a fan, it keeps you interested because, like, all right, well, all our quarterbacks are garbage, but giddy up, Jake DeLome's starting this week. All right, this will be interesting.
Or, like, during the – like, the thing is, like, with Haslett, you knew, like, he's not pulling Brooks. And obviously with Drew Brees, they're never pulling Brees. But, like, with Ditka, you'd be, like, middle of the second quarter, you'd be like, is he gonna pull this guy? Is he gonna? Not only is he gonna pull him, is he gonna yell at him and, like, choke him to death?
I will say this: for all of his faults, Ditka would have cut Brandon Browner in week 2.
Oh my god!
Brandon Browner wouldn't have lasted 2 weeks with Ditka.
I mean,
like, now he would have replaced him with someone worse, most likely. But he would have replaced him.
But he, yeah, like Ditka, he had like 30% fan in him. Like what you want as a fan, like the irrational. Like Ditka was that. He was that emotional, like. But if I had to sum up the Ditka era, maybe it's because it's 20 years ago now. Like I'd have to give it a thumbs up because like the Saints, like 3-13 with Ditka is way better than like what Cleveland had this year or Jacksonville. Like it's way more fun. Like if you're gonna be 3-13, you might as well have a lunatic as your head coach. Like that's what you want.
Yeah. I think the difference is at that point we had a level of expectations where the team had never won a playoff game in their history. And so, you know, there was kind of like a, well, we're never going to win anyway, so just give us comedy. Whereas now, I don't think fans would have the same appreciation for it because the level of standard is higher.
The 98 Saints with the 3-0 start, man, they were having a fucking parade. But we might have a parade after 2017 Saints start 3-0. But, I mean, I don't know. All I'm saying is I hope the two episodes we gave you on the Dick era entertain you. Andrew, I drank too much for the first episode. I tried to pace myself and was like, I'm going to drink enough to just be fun and just – have fun and like be loud, but I drank too much. But if you want a bourbon under $30, Elijah Craig, boom, the way to go. So,
well, I mean, let's be honest. You can't talk about Ditka for this long without drinking a lot.
No. So we'll be back with another episode of Saints History. So thanks everybody for donating. It was magical.
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints History possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.